Just a formality, please, if you permit, madam. Grazzi, jen iddikara l-laqa. Miftuħa, jtna referi għal minuti tal-laqa numru 41, data ta' 29 ta' pirta s-sena kurrenti, u jek ma' uxoġġezzjonijiet mill-onorevoli membri l-oħra tal-kumitat niddikara il-minuti bħala moddija. Grazzi. Nistaw morru għattini għajtim, ok? Ok, thank you very much, first of all. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, first of all, for coming. It is very important to keep this parliamentary dimension, especially between two member states of the European Union. Relatively small member states within the whole European Union. And, hello, the Honourable Mario De Marco, the Deputy Speaker. I have information that you already have a fruitful meeting with our Speaker of the House as well, who is quite an active exponent as well for inter-parliamentary democracy, and he believes that this is a very important medium to start knowing each other. But please, Mr. Deputy Speaker and colleague, I wish for you to take the floor. Thank you very much.
So, first of all, thank you very much for receiving us. So that's really a great honor for us to be in Malta, and just to introduce us in the beginning. So that my name is Tomas Kivimägi, and I'm a Vice Speaker of Parliament, and I'm from a Reform Party. And my colleague Andre Anymägi is from Social Democrats Party, so that opposition and coalition, we're all together, but not so close in the parliament. Being abroad, it's... Yeah. And of course, first of all, I'd like to congratulate you for the presidency of in the European Council, so that's a great honor and great responsibility and great achievement to get this role, so that's really very important for us. And yes, actually, both Malta and Estonia are very small countries, and I think that in this very turbulent time in the world and in Europe, I think it's very important, especially for small countries, to be together, to have contacts and collaboration, because I just mentioned to a speaker of a parliament very nice words of an Estonian writer. He's called Jakob Hurt, and he said these words in 1869, when was the first song celebration. And he said that if we cannot be a great nation in number, we must be great in spirit. And that's a challenge, and that's an opportunity of a small country. So that, and actually, we were very happy to hear that Malta is doing very well in last years, actually, if to talk about the economy. So that your GDP growth is every day 1% more. So that today we heard it's around 6%. So that's really... great achievements. So that in Estonia we struggle to get 1.52% for this year. And of course, one quite big pressure for us is, of course, that we must increase a lot of defense costs. So that actually, before this full-scale war in Ukraine, we put some about 2.5% to defense costs, and now we decided to put, starting from next year, 5%. From GDP, yes, and that's a great challenge for us, because let's make 2.5%, it makes 1 billion euros extra, 1 billion euros, and the state budget is 18 billion. So 1/18 extra we must put to defense, so that, because we don't have another option. And that's actually one of our goals of our visit also, to get support to Ukraine in this war, because it's really... We are saying, actually, our former Prime Minister Kaja Kallas, who is a very high representative now in European Union, so that he said, well, that's not Ukraine's war, that's our war too, that's a war Europe too, because Ukrainians, they are fighting for their freedom, they are fighting for their democracy, they are fighting for their sovereignty, and etc. And of course, Russia's aim is really to destroy Ukraine as a state, to destroy Ukrainians, and also to change, let's say, the security architecture in Europe as a whole. That's the wider, and that's why I think that Europe must be together to find a way how to stop this war. Of course, we know very well, and I appreciate that Malta is following this neutrality policy, but following this policy, we are very grateful and thankful that your message is from your Vice Prime Minister and from the Prime Minister with a very, very strong messages, and they're very supportive to end this war in Europe. So that I have said also in my last speech in Strasbourg that the world is beautiful to live if we don't have wars. But if we have a wars, it's another case, and that's really one of the main purposes to get your support. And one more thing I told also to a speaker, that there's no need to underestimate the potential of a Europe. Because, of course, we know that in the United States is a new president, and I would say that the most unpredictable president in the world. You never know what can happen tomorrow or day after tomorrow. So, of course, we need the cooperation with the United States of America, and it's important for us, but there's no need to kneel before, let's say, Trump, because we are strong enough if we're together. European Union is the third biggest economy in the world, so that if we are united, so that I think that we are really a very important power, nobody can deny us. So that this unity is also very, very important. And the last news I just read, we are very happy on that. But in Romania, for example, the new president elected is pro-Europe, so that was also another option, but we must be very happy, because so far there are some countries actually who are not pro-Europe, let's say, talk about Hungary or Slovakia, so that, and Serbia, so that, that's really very, actually, and that's, I think that's our, that's one of the goals of Putin, to let's say, divide this unity, so that, and that's why it's really very, very important. And of course, we're very grateful for this cooperation we had. We're very grateful to the excellent ambassador of Malta to Estonia, so that Mr. Kenneth Ella has done a really good job. We have very good cooperation in health sector, for example. We have exchange of students, some app also for math, 99 it's called, so that, and then that's really, it's very important to have relations. And the last thing I would like to say, that Estonians, due to their weather, due to their climate, are very eager to travel. And of course, we can confirm that Malta is a really excellent place to travel. So that we are looking forward to have more tourists from Estonia also to Malta, because that's really very lovely, very nice, very vivid place to visit. So that, and of course, right now, I think we have from Tallinn one direct flight, but the timetable is not the best one. So that, but actually, actually, as I'm coming from Pärnu, it's between Riga, the capital of Tallinn, and capital of Latvia, and Tallinn. So that I can choose also the airport, Riga airport, and actually also this time I came directly from Riga. Because from the place I'm living, it's 180 kilometers to Riga and 130 kilometers to Tallinn. So that, okay, 50 kilometers more, but there's a direct flight, yes. And Andre came from Tallinn to Riga and then joined me on the same flight. So that we're looking more cooperation between Malta and Estonia, so that we are both small countries. We share the same values. We are like-minded partners, and it's very important for small countries to be together, and that's really very, very important.
Thank you very much for me too. It's a great pleasure to be here in Malta once again. Now, not just pleasure, but also business. And Thomas told most of the our mission here, of course, to improve our relations, but we also know that our relations are already very, very good, and I have to thank, of course, our great ambassadors and your great ambassadors, and I think that we have the same challenges as a small countries, and we see that the The world is going very crazy places. We do not know what is going on and what are the great and bigger nations planning. We see every country and nation is looking after themselves more and more, and then the global effects are getting more behind those priorities. But also to us, of course, a very important thing is the European Union and of course NATO as well, to Estonia. And it was very good to hear we were meeting with both of the parties today in the morning, and both of the parties the statements made us very, very relaxed that Malta is behind the European Union, is pro-Ukraine, and has understands the Estonian struggle next to our big neighbor. So although you have a neutrality policy, you understand very well the difficult situation we are in. And as I understood, you all are in favor and in support of our problems as well. So this is very important to us, and I wanted to thank you all for that as well. So I think that when Thomas said that more Estonian tourists come to Malta, I hope that more Maltese people will also visit Tallinn. It's a two-way street. We have also not great weather to offer you, but hopefully another thing, something different.
And it becomes too hot here.
It was just a side story when I was in the plane. I think these were Maltese tourists coming from Tallinn to back to home, and I heard them say that, oh, now we can finally take some sunbathing. It was the worst weather I have ever seen. And it was cold, and my hair is all messy because of the humidity. And I said, well, you have to come in summer. So this is one thing. But yeah, of course, we have excellent relations. I'm very pleased that we heard so many wonderful things about Estonia and Tallinn. And thank you very much for that.
Very much. First of all, thank you again for coming with some short comments about reaction about what you said, what you rightly said about bilateral relationships we have in culture, education. I believe we can do more as well, even with regards information technology, where Estonia is although a small country, is a leader in Europe. With regards tourism, as you said, we can do more as well, but air connectivity is key. So with better air connectivity, and it's something maybe for the ambassador as well to take note, that we have to entice more, even private airlines, to do more frequent and more comfortable point-to-point direct flights. With regards to multilateral, the two fora are obviously, we have to work more within the structures of the European Union and the institutions of the European, which a lot of them, although small countries, abide by the principle of equality of states, that every state is equal, independent of its strength or growth, and there we have to push more for our influence as small countries as well, and there is space to do that. And now the opportunity which Malta has as regards to the presidency of the Council of Europe, where we are trying to use that as well to add our influence in countries as well where there are problems of rule of law or of regression of rule of law, or countries which are not abiding by the European value, such as sincere cooperation, especially with regards to your concern. And when I was in Estonia, I felt that there is still that insecurity with regards to an invasion which happened to Ukraine, and which as well is a reminder, is a wake-up call for Europe not to be too much dependent with regards to energy, with regards to production of military equipment on other countries outside the European Union. So it is a wake-up call, and when I'm in European fora, I'm realizing that at the moment there is this great awareness that we have, the Europeans have a history where we are capable, we have very capable people that at times we export them to other countries and they do their job there, which we can do ourselves. So this may be, I agree with you, that has been a wake-up call for us as well to be more self-sufficient in certain regards. What I can tell you is this committee, with the help of my able colleagues, has been instrumental to adopt a common position, although we have different positions, obviously, at different political parties, but with regards to these areas, we adopt quite, and even the opposition adopts, in a regular manner, let's put it that way, a responsible position as well, together with government. We did it recently with other issues, with other countries, and I'm fully confident that we can do it as well. So thank you very much. I introduce the last member, Amanda Spiteri-Grek, of this committee, and I invite my colleagues for their intervention. Please. The Honourable Mario DeMarco.
First of all, thank you so much for making the effort to come and meet us. It's always important to establish these bilateral visiting relations, really. What I think we also have common, besides our size, is that we both live on the edge of frontiers to a large degree. So obviously, I mean, Estonia is towards the east, and then with Russia, which can, with all the invasion of Ukraine and the constant threats that it makes to our European frontiers, we live on the southern brink of the Mediterranean, with the instability that there is as well at the moment on the southern brink of the Mediterranean and or rather North Africa and the Middle East. So we're also sensitive to this. So we have two major concerns, obviously. One is, yes, we totally agree with you, is Russia's invasion of Ukraine. There's no other way of putting it, and a totally unjustified aggression. So we are 101% square behind Ukraine in its support. Okay, and we have also been totally in favor of the priorities of the European Union also in increasing its defense budgets because of the new realities. The new realities where the invasion of Ukraine has not regressed. Russia has not really gone towards the negotiating table other than to make totally unreasonable demands. At the same time, Mr. Vice President, as you rightly pointed out, you have a President of the United States who has made it very clear to the European members of NATO that stop depending on the United States for your defense and security, which basically means that Europe has to stand up a notch in making increased investment in its defense. Now, investing in defense doesn't mean investing in war. It's an investment in peace. Okay, because as some people tried to wrongly create a narrative that Europe is preparing for war. Europe is not preparing for war. Europe is arming itself and increasing its budget because it wants to have peace. So you cannot have peace without being, as they say from Roman times, being prepared for war. So we all know what happened in the Second World War, the unpreparedness of Europe, and one's not saying that one is necessarily leading there, but when you have your biggest ally who's making it clear to you that they are not that much prepared to step in to assist Europe in its defense, at the same time knowing that Russia is not making very much that step forward to try and reach a reasonable settlement, then obviously Europe needs to stand together in because at the end of the day Ukraine's sovereignty is important, not only for Ukraine but for the rest of Europe, because at the end of the day the same arguments which Russia put forward to try and justify its invasion, it could attempt to put it forward to justify the invasion of any other state which is neighboring it. Okay. But besides, obviously, Ukraine, and again, I'd like to make it very clear that even though we are news and we have neutrality and non-alignment in our constitution, doesn't mean that we are politically neutral. I think we have been very vociferous in our defense of Ukraine. So irrespective of issues of neutrality, it doesn't mean that you have to be neutral in the face of an aggression. And that is what Ukraine is facing, an unjustified aggression. So it doesn't mean that we are neutered when we come to talk about aggression. But beyond the issues of Ukraine, obviously there are issues in the Middle East which concern us. Okay, there is still instability in the Middle East. What's happening in Gaza is of great concern to us, and as was concern to us, obviously, the retention of the hostages and the attacks which took place on 7th October was also of great concern to us, so we equally condemn what happened. But the fact remains that, yes, there still is instability. Okay, so that we cannot ignore. And we firmly believe that these matters also need to be addressed within European levels. Of concern to us as well is the instability that we see taking place in North Africa, particularly with Libya. So we are closely following and monitoring certain riots that took place in Tripoli. Unfortunately, the famous Arab Spring didn't necessarily give the stability that we all wished it to have with many North African countries. As you know, I mean, Libya is probably one of our closest geographically southern neighbours. So what happens over there also concerns us. There's also a lot of European investment in Libya. So we are concerned as to what is happening and what's taking place over there. Which also teaches us, I think, all a lesson that when Europe intervenes to assist, it cannot back out. It has to carry on assisting and helping. So at the moment, I think we're living in a bit of an uncalm world because you've got issues to the east, you've got issues towards the Middle East, and issues now in the south. And this is where, obviously, the European Union can act as a great facilitator. Sometimes we don't recognize ourselves the strength that Europe has. And very often we overplay the strength of others. I was reading some of that. In reality, Russia's economy is actually smaller than Italy's, but larger than Spain's. So we overestimate. And what Russia thought it would have done in a few weeks, it has still been 3 years trying to achieve. So if we cooperate much more firmly together, if we really believe in the European aim, if you really want peace and security, I think cooperating between us, rather than having fragmented different voices, can really make us a much more powerful and serious. Powerful not in terms of might, but powerful in terms of achieving what otherwise diplomatically you can't achieve. Because to achieve diplomatically, you need to have a strong voice, and you need to have a unified voice.
Thank you very much, Honourable DeMarco. Honourable Subornici.
First of all, I fully concur with what my friend has just said. It's a part of the pleasure of being part of the European Union to have the opportunity of having two countries at the further side of Europe to be in a position to discuss matters which concern both of us and also to build the strong relations which since our entry into the European Union have been built with your country. We do fully understand the threat which you face. I was lucky to be taken on the frontier by two of your former ministers, and you can feel that there is the Russian presence along your frontier. So we are extremely sensitive on the issues which concern you at that further post. Though we are, as we said, neutral, our neutrality is an active neutrality. We voice our concern, but we also have the privilege to say what others cannot say, because we are not part of NATO or of any other alliance. So you are most welcome here, and it's very good for you to be here, because as we change our perspectives by going to Estonia, so also do you when you come over to Malta, especially to the dimensions of the island, and especially with the difficulties which we face in irregular immigration, and also with, as my colleague said, with the difficulties in Libya right behind us, the unrest which has developed recently preoccupies us, concerns us in all matters. So you are most welcome. And if I may abuse, can you send my regards to Rein Lang and Marco Poveret? One was Minister for Justice and the other was Minister for Interior. Rein Lang introduced me, apart from many other things, to Arvo Part. He had given me a CD of this famous Arvo Part, and we had a very good concert with Arvo Part present here at the Co-Cathedral of St. John. So kindly send my regards. Thank you.
Amanda Scuteri Gregg, thank you.
Obviously, it is a great pleasure to have you here, and also that we should cooperate more, since Estonia and Malta have some similarities, not in the weather, because I believe that was established already, but it would be a pleasure to work together, and also we should explore some novelties, even for our students. I know that Ambassador Vella is an educator himself, so he is into education, and we should work more for our students to get a greater opportunity from two countries, from both countries. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Spiteri Gregg.
If you comment so that just about investments to defense industry, actually, that's one of the priorities also for Estonia. Actually, Estonia state decided to put 100 million euros to support the private businessmen to start some military industry to create. So that I think it's a great support, and of course I think that that's not only the cost, but you can earn the money also developing this military industry. For example, let's take this Rheinmetall, I think the leading military company in Europe, so that the share price has increased three times. I remember it cost 500 euros. Now the cost of the share price is 1,500 or something like that. So that you can make money, you can boost the economy also, putting or developing this military industry. Also, Estonia has decided to put 0.25% to support to Ukraine, so that it makes altogether 100 million euros every year we give military support to Ukraine. And so far, we have bought, let's say, from other countries, from other companies. But now the main goal and aim is to do to build up our military companies, and we can send them concrete things what they need. So that, and that's why I think it's quite smart, and it's really very dangerous to be too much dependent on USA. We have been really relied too much on USA, but as we all see that we never know what Trump can do, and that's why we we must develop our own military industry much more. And as you mentioned, it was like a wake-up call what happened in Ukraine, and that's why it's really very important to develop. The security is most really essential and important issue for Estonia. And of course, we know that. I think that you have a lot of advantages being a neutral country, but Estonia don't have such privilege, because, as you know, our neighbor country is Russia, And actually, I'm very grateful for the politicians who led Estonia to NATO in 2004. I have asked many times from my guests visiting me in the parliament who believes that Estonia is independent if we were not a member of NATO. There's a silence in the hall. Because as we see what happened in Ukraine, Ukraine is, I think, 100 times stronger and bigger than Estonia militarily. And even Russia decided to have this aggression to Ukraine. So that, for sure, we are not independent if we are not members of NATO. And actually, I think also the same threat came to the mind to the Finns and Swedes also, because they also followed this neutrality policy. And once again, because they are very close, they have also a border with Russia, so that they found it all. It can happen the same with us, what happened with Ukraine. And that's they changed their mind, let's say, in 24 hours. So that before this full-scale aggression of Russia to Ukraine, I think 80-90% of Finns and Swedes were against of joining NATO, and they wanted to also follow this neutrality policy. But after this 24th of February, what's actually our Independence Day? 24th of February, the same day Russia started full-scale aggression to Ukraine in 2022, when they found that no, it's a threat for us also, and then they decided to change. And now, actually, we are very happy that also Finland and Sweden are members of NATO. It can give some extra security guarantee for our region as well. So that's really very, very, very important. And one thing what's also, I'm very grateful, actually, I think that you have had quite a good, let's say, labor force policy, and including also this golden passport. So that I think, of course, maybe there are some critics, but in general, I think it has benefited a lot. Maltese economy. But what I want to remark is that I hope that I'm right that you decided already 2 or 3 years ago to give these golden passports to Russian citizens and to Belarus citizens. And I think it's really politically very important message to Russia. It's really you can keep the neutrality, but at the same time making this decision, it's really very strong message to Russia. So that we're very grateful that you stopped this policy if we must deal with Russian citizens or also Belarus citizens. That's really very, very important.
Well, thank you very much.